Hi and welcome to another episode with your host today in podcast The Talib Bila Hudud. Today we have a special guest, so can you give her a warm welcome? So today we have Cassandra. So can you tell us more before we go into any question? Can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, so my name is Cassandra and I am an English teacher in Cairo, Egypt. I teach 8th grade English. I also work in marketing on the side. I moved to Egypt, I think about 3 to 4 years ago. I don't remember. I came to study at AUC and get my master's at the American University. And I decided to stay longer because I'm really enjoying my time here. And I like my job and I like my friends. I was born in New York. I got my bachelor's degree at Syracuse University in international relations. My master's is also in international relations. So I didn't officially study marketing in school, but I am currently working in it.
Okay, can you tell us more about your educational history?
Yes, so at Syracuse, I decided to study international relations. And when you study that, you have to pick a specific region that you want to specialize in. So the options were Europe, Asia, Latin America, Middle East. And I decided to do Middle East because as well, like, you're also supposed to take a language when you're in the program. And if I was gonna do Latin America, which is where my family's from, I already speak Spanish, so I wanted something different. And that's why I picked Middle East, because I wanted to learn how to speak Arabic and find the region really interesting. I've always wanted to come to Egypt and see the pyramids. So I did my undergraduate studies in New York, and then I took a year off. I worked in the city, and then I decided to come to Egypt to get my master's, again in international relations with the same focus. And yeah, that's what I did.
Does the whole country of the Latin America speak Spanish?
Yes, except for Brazil. They speak Portuguese.
Okay. You said now you speak Spanish and Arabic. Can you say hi to our fans with Spanish and Arabic?
Okay, so in Spanish is hola. And then in Arabic is ahlan.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us more about your job titles.
Okay, so right now I work as an English teacher during the day in the morning, and in the evenings I work in marketing. So I do freelancing, I have a couple of clients, I do logos, graphic design, render social media, their digital ads, and I learned marketing that year. So after I graduated from Syracuse, I took a year off before coming to do my master's. And during that year, because it was Corona time, I was at home and there was nothing really happening. You couldn't go outside. So
yeah, it was the worst time.
Yeah, so I decided to learn how to code, and that's how it all began.
So let's talk about teaching in Egypt first. What interests you to teach a child in Egypt, children in Egypt?
Okay, so I've always worked with children, mainly because of what I studied. So my goal, and it's still kind of a goal now, I just put it on pause for a moment. My dream when I went to university to study international relations was to work for UNICEF or to work for the UN, to work for organizations that helps children around the world. And when I was in university, I had to, like, part of my program, I had to volunteer in a lot of organizations that help, like, refugees, immigrants, and the people I was mainly helping were children. And people who were in these organizations, they were people who left, like, countries that were that had wars, like Syria, Somalia, even Palestinians were also part of this organization at the time. So that's how I started, like working with children. And yeah, and then in Egypt, when I came, I got the job as to be an English teacher. And since I already have the experience of working with kids, and I like kids, that's why I decided to stay and be a teacher.
So why did you choose Egypt when the life out there is so much better than the Middle East?
In some sense, yes. Like, I think in media and everywhere, people say the US is so great. And I love, like, home. I love New York and everything. But life there is is harder. Yes, you make more money, and there are things that, like, things are more organized. For example, there's traffic lights, there's police that, like, monitor everything. And yeah, like, there, I think it can be more efficient, but also it's way more difficult because there's so much more rules. And everything is way more expensive, so you need to work hard. Like, yes, you make more money, but you don't have a life. Like, for example, teachers in America, my friends are teachers back home, and they have to, like, they have strict deadlines, and they do a lot. Like, they work sometimes until 8-10 o'clock at night. There's so much more, like, to do, like, more work that you have to do. Like, it's not just you teach and you go to school. No, you need to be part of after school activities. You need to stay for tutoring. Sometimes you even need to go on the weekends. So it's way more demanding. Egypt is a little bit more chill, more relaxed.
But in my opinion, America and Egypt don't have a different in the work thing, because some people are coming back home late from their work, like 10 p.m. or some people go back to home at 1 p.m.
Yeah. So like, my experience, like, what I'm saying is, like, from my personal experience. So for some people, yes, like, maybe living here in Egypt is even way more tougher than living in New York or in the US in general. But for me specifically, like, life here is a little bit more
refreshing.
Easier. Also, like, for example, here, and again, it's not the case for everyone. It depends on like, where you live and everything. Like, I don't feel scared to leave my house, let's say, after 10 o'clock at night if I need to go to the store, you know? Like, here, like, it feels a little bit more safer, especially because I live in Ma'adi. I know for a lot of Egyptians, if they don't live in Ma'adi or they live in different areas, it's not the case, especially as a woman. But in New York, like, anywhere you live, like, it's so dangerous even to be out during the day. Like, even during the day, you're, like, there's a really big drug problem in the U.S. right now, especially in New York City, that there's a lot of, like, crazy people, like, a lot of homeless people. So here in Egypt, I feel a little bit more safer.
Okay. So, in your opinion, which is better, Egypt or America, for education?
For education, I think America is better.
Okay.
Because there, way more is required from teachers, like, a lot more. And there, like, like here in Egypt, like there's different laws. In America, if you misbehave, like you get kicked out of the school. There's no, oh, you get suspended. There, no, you get kicked out. Like if you talk back to the teacher once. At least that was the school I went to.
Okay, so there is a question that has been in my mind for like a decade, and I want to ask you. So I want to get a scholarship in America and Europe and this stuff, but I can't be rewarded with a scholarship. I don't know how to apply on them.
Okay, so the best way to approach that is schools in America, they want international students, because when a school says that they have international students, it makes it seem like, wow, like people all over the world are traveling to come to this school. So my best advice is to look at their, sometimes they have the scholarship applications online. Sometimes they're not available, but they tell you like, oh, the scholarship application is going to be available in August, so you just have to wait. Sometimes it's not easy to find it, so the best advice I can give you is to like email their student enrollment office and tell them like your situation. Tell them, hi, my name is Carolis and I really want to attend your school. I live in Egypt and I would like to be an international student. However, I'm looking for any financial assistance, any financial aid, any scholarships, and they would then give you the information.
Okay, so I tried to send them some emails, but I sent for many schools, and
you need
I didn't
to find
get a reply.
The right email also. You need to find specifically the student enrollment office. Or the financial aid office. So it's not just like the general school email. You need to find the department itself. So either student enrollment, financial aid. Some schools even have an international student department. So that's who you need to contact.
Does a scholarship work for like grade 9, 10, 11 and this school? Or just working for like the college?
College? It depends like what schools you're applying to. There are high schools that there are high schools that are very high ranking, and they like their application process kind of works like college, but you need to look up those schools. Like I can try to help you find those schools, but no, mainly it's usually for college.
Okay, so now let's talk about programming language. What programming language have you learned?
So I learned HTML, CSS, JavaScript, Python. And that's it.
So in your recommendation, what programming language is good for new programming?
So I recommend for everyone to start with HTML. Like that's the first one. And then CSS. And then JavaScript. And then Python. And the reason for HTML is because, like I've said, think of like a website. It doesn't just have to be a website. It can be a website, a web app, a mobile app, a software program. Okay, so it's like think of it like it being a house, you know? So HTML is kind of like the bricks, like the wood of the house. CSS is the paint. JavaScript is like the doorbells, if the lights work in the house, the toilet, the oven, that's JavaScript. And then Python is it's like separate. But I recommend everyone to start off with HTML.
So you take courses for these things, right?
Yeah.
So what website have you learned this thing from?
I learned mainly from Free Code Camp and Code Academy.
Okay. That's it?
And I've taken some random like online courses on Udemy, like the free ones. So I've never ever paid for a coding course. I don't think it's necessary. Especially if you're just like interested and you're just starting off. But yeah, I've taken like, I've watched some videos on YouTube, taken some like random little courses on Udemy, but mainly what helped me a lot was Code Academy and Free Code Camp.
Okay. You had a lot of clients, right?
Yes.
You are working as a freelancer. So do you have any project that you have done for programming language and sell it?
Do you want me to share my screen? Am I able to do that or no?
No, it's actually an audio and not a video.
Okay. But yeah, so I have a website portfolio. It's called muher.com. It's spelled M-U-H-E-R. And there is where all my, like not all of it, most of the stuff I have done for clients. So I've mainly worked with lawyers, doctors, and yeah.
How much is the product?
So it depends. So if I'm making a website, starting price is $500.
500?
Yes.
Okay.
And for my logos, starting price is like $50 to $150. It depends. So for example, for my logos, if someone tells me, comes to me and they have a specific like drawing, like a specific image that they want, like they know exactly what they want, I charge them like $50 starting. If they kind of have an idea, but not really, but they gave me like some direction, I'll charge them $100. If they have no idea, like nothing, they don't know what colors, they don't know what image they want, they have no idea what they want, they just tell me to be creative, then I might charge them $150. And it also includes like with two revisions. So two revisions is I show them the logo, and if there's something that they want me to change, whether it's completely or just a little thing, I can do two more drafts of the logo.
Okay. Yeah. What apps do you use to draw the logos and make it?
So I use Procreate and Photoshop.
Is it available in Android and iPhone?
I'm not sure. I know I have it on my iPad because with Procreate, you need to have like a tablet so you can draw on it. Photoshop is available. I think it is available on the phone, but it's not that great. It's better to use a desktop computer, like a laptop or a desktop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what, you sell a product. What website do you use to sell the product for freelancers?
So I mainly rely on my Instagram. I've been lucky that I started my Instagram, and I have many friends, like friends from college and basically people that I have met. I always tell them that I work in marketing and they remember me and then they refer me. So most of the clients I have gotten have been word of mouth.
Okay. So Let's get more get in digital marketing more. What is your top three strategy that you prefer in digital marketing?
So top three strategies is one, to tell a story. That's very important. Two, to entertain. You cannot come up as so salesy, like you don't want the client to, or the person you're trying to reach out to, think that you're just trying to sell them something. You want to give them an experience. So first one is storytelling, like you're telling a story, you're explaining what the brand is, what's the mission. The mission is not just making money, like what is the true mission of the brand. Entertainment and experience. So those are, that's my three like top strategies.
Okay. How is programming language and digital marketing and technology help you in your teaching generally?
So it helps me in my teaching because I'm able to like just having basic like graphic design skills. I think my slideshows are, you know, they're not boring. They have colors, they have pictures. So I use those elements when I'm making the slides for the students. And also like the topics that I give students to think about most of the time. Like the other day I had a student ask me, why is it always business, why is it always companies, I don't want to be a CEO. But like those are the kind of topics that I like to like encourage my students to like write about or think about, because I think it's going to be very helpful for them in the future. Like anyone, no matter if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if like anyone can benefit from knowing marketing, because no matter what field you are in, you're going to have to sell yourself when you go to an interview. So just knowing marketing, knowing the basics of like storytelling and making something appear like pretty, I try to encourage my students to kind of think in that way.
Okay. How did you get your first dollar or Egyptian pound?
My first Egyptian pound was when I arrived here. I went to the bank. But my first dollar, like from marketing?
Marketing?
Like okay. Dollar, like money, the first time I made money with marketing.
So how much?
It was $150.
Okay. How difficult culture affects you and your life?
The different culture in Egypt?
The different culture, yeah, in Egypt or whatever country have you traveled.
Okay, so before Egypt, the other country I have lived in was France. France was way, way, way more difficult than living in Egypt, just because in France, people refuse to speak English. Like, everyone wants to speak French. Like, French people can be very rude. I mean, some are very nice. I don't want to, like, stereotype or generalize. But for the most part, they're just different. Like, they're not so warm. They're not so welcoming. And they're very, like, proud to be French. So they don't like speaking in English, and it was difficult because I didn't speak French. At least in Egypt, like, I have many friends, many people speak to me in English. It's not a problem. So that's one big sometimes it is challenging not knowing not speaking Arabic so well. But little by little, it's improving. Like, I can go to the store, I can ask where the bathroom is, I can give directions. So to me, Arabic was a little bit easier to learn than French.
So can I give you a dare?
Mm-hmm.
Can you say one sentence in Arabic?
Okay.
Any sentence.
Okay. Anna ismi Cassandra. Anna Aiza Asir. I want juice.
Me too.
And Tavana, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And what else can I say?
You forgot about our podcast. Tell people to follow us.
Oh, that I don't know how to say.
Tabauna.
Tabaula. Okay.
Tabauna.
Tabaula.
Yes. So, what advice you can give for the Unlimited Student Fan podcast?
Other students making podcasts?
No. Advice to our fans.
Oh, advice to the fans? Okay, so advice I can give is that spend less time on social media. Spend less time on social media. Spend more time learning something else, like different hobbies, you know, like coding, even if it's not tech related, cooking, drawing, because it will be helpful, you know. Life shouldn't only be behind a phone screen. And to read the news. Yeah, read like what's happening around the world. I think that's my advice.
Okay, so I'm so grateful to have you as my guest for today.
Thank you.
And this is all, so goodbye.
Okay, do I still stay?